Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Mind Your Subconscious. This week, we're going to be diving deep into five crucial mindset shifts that my client has taken on throughout the last year when we've worked together, when she made her first $1 million within a year. And now when you're listening to this, this is not about the money only. And it's not about the money at all, because nowhere in her marketing does she lead with certain amount of numbers. Yes, she leads with money, because obviously in this world, money leads us to having things and being able to do things and experiencing things, but it is not the major thing. So keep an open mind when it comes to this, and listen to this podcast with the curiosity of someone who wants to learn from someone who has created a life of freedom when it comes to time, money, and energy. So that client and I, we had worked together in the past, and then this client came to me and said, "Hey, I want to work with you for a year while I want to make several million." And I was like, "Okay, cool. I've never done that before, but thank you for trusting me." We can do that, because it doesn't matter how much money you make or what the amount is or whatever. You will always have limiting beliefs. You will always have fears. You will always have, you know, things going on that are not about the money. And money, because money is energy, making money is also not about the money. It's about the energy that you put out. So here's what we focused on. So the very first mindset shift that I want to mention is that we worked on having her feel safe with more visibility, more responsibility, and more money. So what does that mean? When we were working with her to make her feel safe with more visibility, it was about her having to increase her reach. I'm not saying this is a given, but if you want to make more money in an easy way too, it's easier for you to have more eyes on your profile, on your social media profile, on you as a person, and on everything that you do. So you have to become more comfortable. And especially when you have an online business, right? Which she has. So that's just a given. So we had to make her feel more comfortable with more eyes on her. That means, you know, when she was going on to huge podcasts, we had to make her feel comfortable with that. With many people, millions of people partially, like listening to these huge podcasts. You have to be comfortable with that. Like when your story is being shared with millions of people instead of only thousands of people, you have to be comfortable with that. Because when you are talking to millions of people, the likelihood that more people are going to reach out to you about your services, about whatever it is that you're doing, or questions even, you know, some people reach out with questions, you have to be more comfortable holding that, or having a team member hold that for you, and that team member reaching out to you if there's anything they're not comfortable handling. So that's what we worked on. Also, you have to become comfortable with perhaps a different part becoming visible of you. And what I mean by that is there's a certain story that she was leading with in the past that has attracted people, but now she wanted to attract different kinds of people. And I'm going to go into this in point number three, because she now wanted to attract different people, so she couldn't lead with the same story anymore. So now she kind of had to lead with a different story to be visible as well. So you have to get comfortable with people knowing different parts of you, and millions or hundreds or tens of thousands of people learning about these different parts of you. So you really have to feel safe with sharing more of you or different parts of you. I'm not saying sharing more of you is something you have to do. It's just something that you may have to do or may want to do. And also because you are an evolving person that changes all the time and that may not want to attract, or maybe it's not serving you to attract the same kinds of people, you have to lead with a different story. And so there are lots of points when it comes to visibility. Now, the second thing we had to have her feel safe with was responsibility. What does that mean now? Responsibility actually means you are now more responsible for when you're sharing your story or parts of your story, different sides of yourself, you're responsible for putting out that story, but also receiving what putting out that story has brought to you. That means maybe you're receiving more and more clients. You're receiving like a huge influx of clients after you did that one podcast interview. Maybe you're receiving a huge influx of followers. Maybe you're receiving a huge influx of money. Obviously, with the clients, you're going to receive a huge influx of money. So responsibility in all areas. And you have to feel safe with also having the responsibility of whatever it is that you're putting out as an online content creator, as an online business owner. You are now responsible for more and more people that are going to watch you, and you are responsible for more and more people who are going to become your clients. And I'm not saying, you know, you have to baby them, you have to handhold them, you have to be responsible for them, but you are responsible for obviously what you're putting out. And then in return, of course, you are responsible for what you're attracting. So you have to be very, very clear on what it is that you want to put out so that you can receive whatever it is that you want to receive, and not being responsible for, okay, this is what other people say is going to be good for me to put out, and I'm responsible for that. And then you are also responsible if that wasn't the right thing for what you're receiving, right? So you have to feel safe with the increasing responsibility that you're having when it comes to your followers, your clients, and more money as well. Because now we're coming to the third point. You have to feel safe with more money, because more money, I don't want to say that, you know, that same old saying like, oh, more money, more problems. No, more money, different problems. Because when you have more money, you are able to make different decisions. Suddenly, you're not only able to afford, like, let's say, 3 to 5 different low-cost products. No, you're now able to afford 10 products that cost, you know, that are maybe high, middle, and low. So you have to decide whatever it is that you need. Let's say you want to hire somebody for marketing. You could afford a virtual assistant that is just starting out charging $10 an hour. You could afford a company, a social media company, maybe a smaller one, where they get you like 2 virtual assistants that are taking care of your social media for, let's say, $40 an hour. Or you could hire a complete agency that is going to cost you $3,000, $8,000, $10,000. Depending on how much you want to do, depending on where, on which platforms you want to put out your stuff. Or you could hire a person that is going to completely, that their mission is to completely take you outside of your marketing, but it's going to take that over, and you are only the CEO and the visionary. And I'm also going to talk about this in the next point, of course. And then also with money, when it comes to money, you can now make decisions for your health. Okay, am I only going to pay for this app that is $5? Or am I going to pay for this online personal trainer that is $50 an hour? Or am I going to pay for a gym membership, a home gym, and a personal trainer who comes to me privately, and somebody online when I'm traveling or something? These are all the decisions that you have to make when you have more money, because you have suddenly a million options more. So we have to feel safe with these options being available for us. Because then when you have so many options, now all of a sudden your brain and your body, they can become stressed. They can be like, oh my God, what if I lose it all? What if I become sick? And what if something happens with my business? What if the internet just shuts down or something else, right? And so as you're making more money, as you're holding more money, you have to feel safe with that. Because all the work that I do and that other people do in my field is about making us feel safe, feeling safe in our decisions, feeling safe in our bodies, in our minds, and our spirits. Because if my body is not feeling safe with something, then my mind is going to get signals from my body. And for some reason, my mind is going to be like, oh, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. But you cannot pinpoint why. And the other way around as well. So you really have to make sure you're approaching this holistically, having your body, mind, and soul feel safe with the money you're making, with the decisions you're making with the more people you're attracting and with the responsibility that comes with more money. So again, it is not really about the money. It is about feeling safe. So now let's get into the second point. So the second mindset shift we had to work on was for her to embody the CEO and the visionary and no longer working in her business, stepping out of that and only working on her business. So what does that mean now? So when you start your business as an online entrepreneur, especially as an online coach or healer or reader or whatever, you are the person who works in your business. You are the person who does everything. You do marketing, you do finances, you do working with clients, you do everything, and you wear many different hats. And now that you have more money that you can spend on people helping you, on delegating, on just doing the things that you love, you have to become the CEO and the visionary. And instead of coaching, you have to step out of that hat even too. This may be your favorite thing to do, and this is why you may have started your business, but if you want to grow your business, you have to, I'm not saying completely step out of it, I'm just saying you have to somewhat step out of it, so you can also be the person who guides the business to the next step. So you have to become the CEO, the visionary. You can hire a person for operations, you can hire a person for marketing, you can hire people for all kinds of stuff, right? But you are the person, if you want your business to work like you want it to work, you have to be the visionary, you have to be the CEO, you have to tell people, okay, this is what I want, this is how I see the business growing. Yes, I'm willing to take ideas from the marketing team, from other people in my team. I'm willing to listen to these ideas and to sort them out. And at the same time, I want to guide the business to where I want to guide it to, because then I will ensure that I still will be doing what I love and I still be leading the business that I love and leading the business that I started with in the first place that I love so much. So in order to do that, you have to become the CEO and the visionary. And sometimes that means it means that if you don't like the marketing aspect, if you don't like, finances, if you don't like the operations aspects, the technical stuff, if you don't like any of that, you have to step out of that. You have to delegate that and you have to become comfortable with people doing things for you. You have to become really comfortable with delegation. And that takes different levels, you know, and at first in your business, when you start out, you know, you can, I'm going to delegate a few social media posts. And then you come to the next level and you're like, oh shit, I can delegate my whole marketing strategy. I can delegate that to somebody else. How beautiful is that if you really don't like that, right? Or you can say, okay, maybe I really enjoy writing posts and I'm not going to let a copywriter do that or somebody else. Maybe I really enjoy that. Or you can say, well, I enjoy still coaching and I'm still going to coach people. I'm going to record that and I'm going to have a copywriter just take my words from me, what I've been saying, and put that into a post. You can do that. And so, but you have to embody the person that can be great at delegating and that makes the right decisions with people and makes the right hiring decisions. And also you have to not only hold the vision for your business, you have to hold the vision for your life as well, right? So you don't want to be working on your business full time, right? The more money you make, you also want to be stepping back and just doing everything on automation, most likely. And so you also want maybe more freedom in your life. You want to have great experiences. Maybe you want to travel to South Africa and do a safari, or maybe you want to go to, you know, do a road trip through the United States. Or like this person, she wanted a lake cottage. And every single session, almost like, let's say 70% out of the sessions, we went into that lake cottage. We imagined her there because that was something that she really wanted. And it took her quite a while to create that. It took her over that year that we've worked together to create that and to really make that happen. So some huge dreams, sometimes they take time, obviously, right? But with that being said, I really want to encourage you to just keep dreaming, keep holding the big vision, because sometimes dreams just take some time. And she managed to get that lake cottage. But again, it was part of her vision. She had to become that visionary and really embody that. Now let's get to the third point, and this is really a big thing, a really big mindset shift that a lot of people have to undertake in their business. Because again, when we start out as healers, as coaches, as people who work with other people, we start out shortly after our own healing journey has begun or has developed. And first we heal, we heal, we heal, we heal, because then we feel like, okay, you know, our manifestations work better and we've healed so much and our relationships get better, our business gets better, and so many things get better when we heal. And then comes a point where you're tired of healing. You don't want to hear from people who are healing, who are going through it, who are just starting out, who are, and this is, I know, this is very harsh for me to say that, but eventually you'll get to that point. And that's okay. That's just a point in evolution. It's nothing bad. It's nothing wrong. It's nothing good. It's nothing great. It just is, okay? That's how it is for everyone that I know that is at that place. Because we are not the same people anymore. We do not want to attract the same people anymore. So shifting from the rescuer to the leader is a major mindset shift that you have to do eventually in your journey as a coach, as a healer, as a person who really wants to embody leadership and who wants to attract people who lead themselves as well. So let me give you a few examples here, right? As a rescuer, you thrive off of rescuing people. You thrive off of people telling you, oh my God, because of you, I've been able to exit my toxic relationship, or because of you, I've been able to make my business, I've been able to make my, or 10x my income or whatever, or because of you, this, this, and that, and oh my God, you're so great, and this and that, and you know, you've rescued me from my terrible life, and now I have my life is so much better, blah, 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 blah. And it's because you thrive off of that. This gives you a feeling of meaning. It gives you a purpose. It makes you feel like you're doing something great. It makes you feel like you're doing something right. It makes you feel like you're contributing to this world. And you may fall into the trap, and I'm including myself in this, that this will make you feel really good. And this will create a sense of, again, purpose, meaning for you. And you really enjoy helping people, rescuing people. You really enjoy that. And you may find that this trickles not, that is not in your only in your business, but it trickles down into your family, your friends, and everybody else. And you're always the one who's doing something for people. You're always helping out. You're always, you know, saying yes to people and helping them. You're always giving them chances and free courses and, you know, maybe include this person in your program or that person in your program without paying because they can't pay right now, but you're rescuing them and da da da. So it's this whole big identity of the rescuer that gives you meaning and that gives you purpose. The next step that comes into evolution, though, is the identity of the leader. This is a person who wants to attract other self-led leaders. This is a person who wants to attract people who move by themselves. They don't need hand-holding. They move, they make moves, they pay for you to be there to maybe talk about an idea or to maybe, you know, like if you have done something that they've never done before, they're going to ask you about that, or they may want to get your input because they appreciate your time for that. And they are the ones who don't need you as much as the person who you used to rescue. But those self-led leaders, they take action themselves. They take accountability. They take responsibility for where it is that they're moving. They're not going to ask you when like a little thing comes up or whatever, you know, that's not them. They figure it out. They figure shit out. They ask you whenever it is that they really see something that you have that they want as well, that they know that you can enlighten them on because you don't have the experience yet. But they will move and they will take care of themselves. And if they have a problem, they will figure it out. And a lot of times with the people who we rescue, and we've been that ourselves, right? Some of us, like with people who we rescue, or if we have been that person that wants to be rescued, then we look to that leader and be like, hey, I need you. Like, I need you. Not, I would like your time for this, I want your time for this, or your input on this, or your experience from this. But no, I need you to do this. I need you to help me with this. I need you. And this becomes really draining. But when you are working with people who take action themselves and who don't need you, they're not taking away from you anymore. They're not taking your energy. But no, you have your energy and you keep it. And maybe sometimes they even give you energy because you're so pumped about the work that they're doing, or you know, just answering their questions or whatever. This is where you get the energy from. You don't get the energy from, oh, I need this energy to, or I need this to feel purposeful, or I need this energy to feel meaning. No, now you get this, I am full and I'm giving from overflow. I have filled myself up with other things other than rescuing people. I've filled myself up with my health, with going to the gym, with having a personal trainer, with doing ice baths and saunas and whatever. I've filled myself up with family time, with time I can spend with my kids. I've filled myself up and I'm full and I can give, rather than I need to fill myself with rescuing people. There's a big difference. And so this was something that we really needed to shift in her. And this is something that will help anyone who wants to create more in their life. When you shift that, whew, watch the change happen. So the fourth mindset shift is all about being in your role of genius, serving in your role of genius. We talked about this a little bit when we talked about delegation, right? But it's really feeling safe with only doing what you love and eliminating everything and everyone else who you do not love and what you do not love doing. That means you take care of yourself more than you've ever taken care of yourself before. Whether that comes to you in ice baths or walks or sauna, or going on retreats, or going into a wellness hotel, or a spa, or massages, or, you know, anything. Like, you take care of yourself more than ever before. About your mental health, you take care of your mental health, you take care of your physical health, you take care of your soul. And when it comes to that, this is what we worked on together. When it comes to taking care of your soul, it means that you will connect with your soul as much as you can, as much as you need to make sure you're going in the direction of your soul, something that is making you feel alive, something that is allowing you to feel good about yourself, what you do, feel good about others and everything that's in your life and everyone that's in your life, and you acting according to what matters to you, whether that is maybe your kids matter to you, maybe kids in general matter to you because they're our future. Maybe your health matters to you. Other people's health matters to you. Maybe your freedom matters to you. Other people's freedom matters to you. Like, when you connect with your soul on the basis that we did, which was weekly, you will see, okay, I'm kind of going off my path and I don't want to go in that direction. I need to align again with my soul's path, that I'm going into direction that fulfills me in my body, mind, and spirit, soul. And when it comes to your business, this is where you have to step into your role of genius and you have to delegate everything else. And when it comes to your life, this is having to step into the role of genius when it comes to you with the people that you surround yourself with. Your role of genius when it comes to people that you surround yourself with is being among people who love you for who you are, who celebrate you for who you are, and not with people that drain you or that want a piece of your pie, or people that you actually don't want to hang out with because, you know, you stop drinking and they still drink and they still, you know, just going out or whatever. And that's just not you anymore. And that's okay. But you needing to stay in your role of genius when it comes to business and life is key to developing the mindset that you need to become a millionaire. At least it was for her. But I know other millionaires too, who that is definitely true for. And again, with this whole podcast, I'm speaking about something that I've learned or things that I've learned from my client while working with her, but that I have also observed in other people because it has helped other people as well. And I know it will help me on my path to becoming a millionaire as well, because I want to become a millionaire as well, not for the money, but for experiences, for freedom, and just because why the fuck not? Why not? Why not? I know I can have experiences without money and without, you know, anything. I know I can have that. And at the same time, why not have the money to do that as well and do good with the money, most importantly? Like, when I can have experiences and I can ask people to have these experiences and help me with it. And then again, I can also pay these people to do what they love. And this is something I really love spending my money on, like supporting people that I know that, you know, like designers that I know, or healers that I know, people who read tarot that I know, just supporting people I know doing what they loved. I think this is the best thing we could do with our money, or just supporting causes that we believe in, like conservation. I believe in conservation when it comes to all the beautiful animals that are living in the African bush. I believe in, you know, also having beautiful homes for animals and supporting shelters and whatnot. So anyway, sidetracked a little bit. But let's get into the fifth mindset shift, which is all about boundaries. Now, when you are living in that role of genius in your business and in your life, you have to set the strongest boundaries and you have to feel safe within those boundaries. Because the more you change, the more you develop, and it doesn't even have to do, you know, the most with money. Like, of course it has to do with money as well, but it also comes when you start drinking, you have to, when you stop drinking, you have to have such strict boundaries. When you start being healthy and start going to the gym, you have to have such strict boundaries. And it's not only in regards to money, but when you want to achieve anything, your boundaries have to be rock solid. And you have to feel safe, because only when you feel safe within your boundaries will you feel like you can execute them. And only when you feel like you can execute them, you actually do execute them. So boundaries, it goes for her, it went for her personal life, like boundaries with family members, boundaries with what she would be doing, when she would be doing things, what she would be doing for herself, when she needed her time for herself, all of that. Same with her business, boundaries in when can, you know, team members communicate with you, how can they communicate with you, how often, and clients as well, like how, you know, do you only answer your clients from Tuesdays to Thursdays, and do you take the weekend completely off, like, what is it that you need? Put that first and then execute boundaries around how people, around how you allow people to interact with you. And it's like that with everything. I remember, I'm going to give you a funny, like not a funny example, but also an example of my life. When I executed boundaries with all of my exes, that they were not, I told them, I was like, you know what? I'm moving to find my dream partner and you cannot contact me anymore. Or at the time when I found him and when somebody contacted me again, I was like, dude, I'm with my dream partner. Just don't contact me anymore. I set these boundaries and that's when shit happened. That's when I got with my dream partner. And this is the same in business and in life and in anywhere. When you want to do anything, you need to execute your boundaries. You need to say them out loud. You need to feel safe. And you need to feel good about them. So, boundaries. And now let's talk about a bonus mindset shift that wasn't really a mindset shift, but that was something that she gained throughout this whole year journey with me that she didn't even know she needed. And with everything that I've said now, the points: feeling safe with more visibility, responsibility, and money. Embodiment of being the CEO and the visionary. Shifting your identity from rescuer to leader. Only acting in your role of genius and with boundaries. What all of these come with is decision-making. Decision-making, strong decision-making. It's not a maybe. It is a yes or no. It's a hell yes, it's a hell no, it's a fuck no. It's not a maybe. Like, you have to become strong in your decision making. And what do you need for that? You need self-trust. And your clients, you will see this, the more you are in the rescuer, your clients will ask for your opinion, for your advice, for your tips, for your tricks, all of that, right? But when you are in the leader identity, then you will see that you're shifting out of this yourself. You're no longer asking, if you're working with me, you're no longer asking me for my opinions, for my thoughts. Sometimes you do. And that's as soon as I can tell, I'm like, hey, and I tell people, I'm like, I know that you don't trust yourself right now. And they're like, yes, I know. And I know you know. I'm like, I know you know. But really allowing people to learn how to trust themselves so they can make aligned decisions is key. And I think that is key for everyone, every coach, every healer, every person that works in self-development. It's key to allow people or to help people and to empower people to learn how to trust themselves. Now, how do you do that? For me, what I've seen on how to do that is simply by aligning them with their soul's path. Hey, I am going into meditation or hypnosis, meditation by myself, hypnosis with my guide. I'm going into the space where I can connect with my soul and I see my path in front of me. And I see many paths in front of me, but I see the one that I want to take, that my soul wants to be on, that fulfills me, that makes me feel happy, that makes me feel good. I see that path. I want to be on that path. And I need to trust myself to stay on that path. And then ask your soul, what are my action steps? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I need to do today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year? What are the action steps that I need to do in my human life that will keep me on this path? So the more that you act from your soul, from your higher self, whatever it is that you want to call it, right? I listened to something today by the beautiful Heather Ellison, who was talking about how you have to connect with your higher chakras and making decisions from higher chakras, which I found really beautiful. Because, and obviously, in order for that to happen, you need to be good with your lower chakras as well. Because other than that, you cannot make the decisions from your higher chakras. But really making decisions not from a place of lack, of fear, of distrust, or whatever it is that you're making them from, but making decisions from love, from trust, from soul, from higher self, from peace, from calm, and getting yourself into a place where you can do that, whether that's meditation, nature walks, hypnosis, whatever that is, getting yourself into that kind of space before you make a decision. Because when you make a decision out of anything else, you will hire the wrong team member, you will write the wrong content that is going to attract the wrong people, you will spend your money on not aligned mentors that you are going to end up hating, not liking, and that you're going to end up regretting spending the money on. And you will also spend time with people that you don't like more in your personal life and in your business life. And if you make decisions from a lower place as well, then you are not going to feel fulfilled or peaceful or calm or anything like that. And you're going to make bad decisions for your health. And it's all it continues. So the biggest game changer for her that she told me was that she learned how to trust herself. And I think also for me, that is very important. And for anyone else out there. So I needed to mention this because this was really, really, really important. So what else happened to her throughout that year when she started leaning into her soul and self-trust and all of that? She improved relationships, and most importantly, she gained a lot of freedom, a lot of time, a lot of freedom from her business and a lot of time for herself that she could spend with her kids. She gained the lake cottage eventually that we visualized so many times. And again, she gained so much self-trust. And I wanted to share this episode with everyone. Again, yes, it was about the millions, and maybe you want to be a millionaire, but at the same time, it's about learning how to trust yourself and embodying who you want to become so that you can actually be that person. And most importantly, to enjoy the journey, because we forget that all the time. Oh, I don't have my millions yet. I'm not happy yet. I'm only going to be happy when I have the million. No, you're not. Stop saying that. Like, you know that already. You're not. Just remember to connect with yourself and enjoy the journey and enjoy every single part of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the great, the enlightened, the bold, the courageous, and the inspiring, the motivating. Just enjoy every single part of it. I think that's what we can all remind ourselves of. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this. If you had a takeaway from this episode, if you're still here, and if you had a takeaway, like a major aha moment, then please, please, please message me on Instagram with it. I would love to share the takeaway anonymously too, of course, if you don't want me to show your name. But I would really love to share the takeaway. So yeah, let me know, and you will hear me next week. Love this episode of Mind Your Subconscious? Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on whichever platform you're listening. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.